And from the National Weather Service, it's telling us that we are currently at 52 degrees. We can expect sunny skies with a high today of 85. Tonight, a low of 53 with sunny skies. That means we can really see the stars tonight. And tomorrow, all the way up to 88 degrees. It's the high for the week, so enjoy your Saturday at the farmer's market, maybe. But let's talk a little bit about something that, before we get into our special interview, this is September 11th, and 14 years ago on this day, we all will remember where we were. It was a tragic moment in time, and just, I can't really have an interview without acknowledging that that happened. And 14 years later, you wonder how it changed us as a nation or as individual people. Did it make us kinder? Did it make us better? In retrospect, it wasn't a great thing. It was a tragedy. And we, of course, will remember that forever. But Patricia, do you have any thoughts?
Just that I do embrace that people have different memories. And so it's nice to have people share how it impacted the past and the future for them. And I do remember I was in cancer treatment at that time. My oncologist was on a plane, and I thought he had been in the plane.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of those places I go to, is I remember myself and the entire cancer clinic remembering him being up in that plane, and it was 3 hours later before we found out he was not in that particular mm-hmm. one.
So very personal.
So very personal. Mm-hmm. And then you go to everybody, and then you go to the overall. So you always seem to start where you were at personally mm-hmm. and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. And Ron, do you have anything you'd like to share?
Yes, it affects everyone. And my wife and I were currently on vacation at that time, and of all places, South Carolina. And we heard what we had heard, and we were in shock like everyone else was. And we still had time on our vacation, but you know what? We wanted to come home. I don't know what it is mm-hmm. about a tragedy like that, but you Absolutely. Want to be in the confines of home. And getting out of Atlanta was impossible. There was just no flights, and you didn't know how long that was going to last. So the car rental companies, and this was, I have to really tip my hat to them, they waived the drop-off fee, and my wife and I drove home. Mm-hmm. Took 2.5-3 days to get home, but it was that urge to get home.
I think
absolutely.
In the immediate aftermath, people became very kind and caring. There was a story on the internet today about a plane that was on its way from London to New York City and was waylaid in Greenland somewhere. And there were actually 10,000 people that ended up at that airport and in a town of 10,000 people, and how kind those people were and how they took all the flight people that were on the flights and stranded there and took care of them so well. And there was just another act of kindness. And so, you know, in honor of those that perished and the tragedy that followed, we can think about that. And here's just a simple quote from President Obama that he read on the radio in 2011. "Even the smallest act of service, the simplest act of kindness, is a way to honor those we lost. A way to reclaim that spirit of unity that followed 9/11. And I think that's what you're talking about a little bit. So there we go. And we want to get to our interview. There's all kinds of things coming up at the Panet is now back open. And we're very excited about that. But we also have an event that's very exciting. The World War II. And adventures, romance, and stories at the Little Panada this weekend. So what do we want to start with? The Panada, Patricia? And how it's
sure,
going and
absolutely.
What's going on there?
So last night was our grand reopening of the Panada and kicked off a movie, Mr. Holmes, which plays tonight and Saturday at 3 and at 7:30. So it was a lot of fun to have people in there and looking at the ceiling and answering questions about the project. And you know, it's a culmination of many years of effort. So lots of compliments, and one of the best ones is that it still looks like the Panada, so we just enhanced it.
Does it sound any different or look different?
It looks different. It looks brighter. It looks more opulent, I believe, because of the gold being up and having that freeze back to having that beautiful gold touch to it is outstanding. So I think it just kind of lightened the place.
So more than a renovation, it was a restoration.
It was a restoration, definitely a restoration, because we had a historical study done. The paint is actually matched to the original color, the 1927 color of the theater. There was a patch in the ceiling when they took some things apart where they found the original color that hadn't been touched by soot or dirt or anything, and that's what they matched to. That's pretty exciting.
That's very exciting. It's really honoring the fact that we have this beautiful building.
Absolutely.
That is such a center for our community.
Yes.
And there it is. It still has its feeling of its original feeling.
And we needed to put in a lighting chase, but worked really hard to maintain the integrity of the historical feel of the ceiling, but made it safe for people to be up there and changing lights and highlighting the spotlight for great art events. So
it's going to look a little different, but and it also has sprinklers?
No sprinklers.
There was not enough
money for that.
Okay.
So it does have a fire alarm now, which it did not. So we do have that, but the sprinklers, there's not enough money to complete that project.
So it has the smoke detectors.
Mm-hmm. But we're going to have some more funds to finish the sprinklers off, which is a high priority. We want to protect what the community's invested.
Sure. You have good exits and your egresses and things like that.
Absolutely. All that's
all to code.
Very done. All that's up to code and has those bright, shiny lights to say exits.
Well, I'm sure you're experiencing a sigh of relief because this was a big project. It wasn't just the 2 months that the Panada was closed or however long it was closed. It was a lot of work, as you say, matching paint to original colors from the 1927.
Right. And the historical study was a part of it. So was how the plaster's laid. That was very interesting to watch. That was a three-layer approach to how the ceiling was, the plaster was done. The gentleman that did it, that is his specialty, is historical restoration. So that we took great pains in finding the right fit for that. And, you know, the asbestos was removed to get preparation for that. The insulation was done. So all those things had to be done before the Panada could be set for that ceiling. And then you can't even imagine the amount of dust that come down. And and it actually, as you know, even though there are places the ceiling was falling down, it was difficult to get it all down. So it's been a process, yes. And hope everybody comes to see it.
Yeah, I'm sure we will over time. And you have a movie playing all weekend there. So
all weekend. We have Mr. Holmes, and next week you have Shaun the Sheep, if you're a Wallace and Gromit fan. So love Shaun the Sheep. So, and I'm really excited to be expanding the Panada's offerings in the Little Theater. And that's what I was so excited to have when Ron came to me with this great idea. Talking about 9/11, there were stories of World War II. World War II was a tragedy, but there are empowering and deep, heartfelt stories that we are going to keep alive and keep those people that mattered alive. And that's what the community here is about. Mm-hmm. It's about keeping the community and the heart of the community alive. So I was really excited to have Ron come do his magic in the Little Theater. So,
and that's coming up this weekend?
This weekend, Saturday night at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 o'clock. Okay. And he's going to bring the magic of storytelling, which is a lost art. I'm happy to see brought back to the Panada stage.
It sounds like it's a collaboration and it came up. Ron, why don't you tell us a little bit about, we'll start out with hearing this, by the way, Ron Rigoni, you're the sole offering at this event. And I'm not even sure what the name of it is. So why don't you just tell us what we can expect? It's at the Little Theater this weekend.
Well, I'm not really sure of the name either. it's a combination of three stories that I have been telling now for quite a long while. And these stories are all loosely based around World War II. One is not loosely, one is directly. And this was a story that was told to me by my wife's uncle. And this is an event that occurred to him in 1944. And it was life-changing. It truly molded the rest of his life. It was an event that could have been absolutely tragic. And, I'm not going to go into it anymore because I want the people to come and be a little surprised at what happened.
So bringing this to the Little Theater this weekend was an idea that you and your wife, Patty, had, and you've been working on it. I have to ask, are you ad-libbing during this? Is this?
It's total ad-lib.
It's total yeah. storytelling.
This is just storytelling.
This is a storytelling event.
Right. No scripts. Okay. I mean, you know, at my age, learning scripts is getting more and more difficult. Now, these are stories that I've honed over the last, decade or so. And so, they are just going to be casually discussed. You know, the fourth wall is removed, mm-hmm. and it's just me talking with the audience.
The art of storytelling, that's coming back.
I hope so. Mm-hmm. I truly hope so.
Mm-hmm. I was reading in the Sandpoint Reader how you brought, when you substitute at the high school, and you said, 45 minutes, students, give me 45 minutes, and I'll give you a story at the end. You know, everyone loves to be told a story from the time we're little children. Absolutely. And even adults at any age love a story. Yeah. So that's beautiful.
Well, this first story I kick off with, is particularly liked by the students because our protagonist is their age. Mm-hmm. He's a senior in high school, and he wants to get into the war in the worst way. Well, 17-year-old kid.
I think high school, if you can entertain high school kids, that's a tough crowd. And they love him, so mm-hmm. I think we're all in for a super treat.
So not just the art of storytelling, but a master storyteller.
Absolutely.
To boot.
I mean, look at all the technology they're used to and all the things, and for them to work so hard mm-hmm. to hear his stories mm-hmm. makes you appreciate what's coming.
As a storyteller, if you look at their faces, when you start telling a story, they change. They go into their thinking and they start forming pictures in their mind, which is a brain development thing for kids and very important.
Well, the one thing great about storytelling, something akin to reading a book, mm-hmm. and that is you get to be the director. You're the choreographer. You're the sound effect person. You're the person, the direct. You're the one that conjures up in mm-hmm. your head, and that's I think a great thing about storytelling because everyone participates. Your audience is part of the show.
I hope that you have lots of young people there.
I hope so too.
And you're definitely going to have people that can relate to the World War II stories and things like that, the nostalgia of it all. But, you know, this art of storytelling and from you will be superior.
Well, I hope so. Mm-hmm. I hope everyone enjoys it.
And again, that's this Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 7?
7:30.
And Sunday at 3 at the Little Panada Theater. It's really adventures, romance, and stories from World War II. And
absolutely.
So I was wondering, Ron, if you would at all just, I don't know if you can ad-lib this well, but a two-minute story.
It is early in the morning, but try me.
A morning story. So anything you'd like to, just give us a little taste of what a story sounds like.
Well, let's see.
Sorry to put you on the spot.
No, what I try to do is when I tell a story, you have to set the scene first. And you have to develop the characters, much the same as what you would hope when you go see a movie, for instance. And that's what I try to do. We are going to be, and I also like to set the scene before someone, even as they walk in. I like to have the ambiance depicting that particular era. And that's one of the things we're going to be doing with music. We're going to be doing with the set. I mean, there doesn't have to be a set, but there's going to be a set. It's right out of a 1940 living room, complete with old radios and lamps and whatever's necessary. And so I learned this a long time ago that from one of the best directors I've ever worked with, and this is the technique that he used and that what I'm going to use. As far as the stories are concerned, we'll have segues between each story, and in each one we try to set the scene. I try to transist between the stories that are going to make it easier for the audience to understand where we're going.
So you bring them into the mood.
Agreed. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm going to be doing something a little bit different at the end. And that is, I don't know if you all recall, but back in the olden days, when you would go to the movies, you would spend your 25 cents to get admission, and you would be treated not to one, but to two movies, a cartoon, a newsreel, and if you were really lucky, a sing-along. The old follow the bouncing ball. But we're going to do all of that.
Oh, how fun.
Yeah. So,
and I'd like to bring out one really important aspect, and that is that Ron and Patty are doing this as a benefit for the Panada, and all of the admission price goes to the Panada. They're doing this. Their heart is in many places, and they're bringing their talents to the benefit of the Panada. And I think that's huge.
Do you mean to say the Panada could use some funding?
Just a little bit. Just a little bit. Not just because we were closed, but also just, you know, to get some more great programming. And as you know, we want to bring the more things to the stage, more live productions to the stage. So the Panada Playhouse needs some help to get that accomplished.
To kind of rally the community theater idea.
So we have some... We have live theater coming next month, and we have a couple more people inquiring already about some more live theater. We want to keep doing that, but it takes a little help. So the Ragonis are stepping in and helping us get that kicked off.
So this is a benefit. It is this Saturday and Sunday. Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3, which is a nice way to spend an afternoon. It's supposed to rain.
And I'm also told that if it does well, we might get entice him to do this more.
I think that, especially if people show up and participate. Because it's not just, you can't stand up there and tell a story to it's an interactive, in a sense of the energy and people experiencing your storytelling.
Well, that's of course, is up to the storyteller to get this interaction going. And I hope I can pull it off. I know I can.
Well, I bet you can. And speaking of setting the mood, why don't we take a little break? This is 88.5 KRFY, and we're having a special interview with Patricia Walker-White, Executive Director of the Panada Theater, and Ron Ragone, local actor, and coming up an event at the Panada where he'll be telling stories of World War II, adventures, romance, etc. So let's get in the mood a little bit more. This is a song. It wasn't written by Bette Midler, but she made it famous. Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. And we'll be right back. Stay with us. We'll hear some more about this event that's coming up and some other things. And that was Bette Midler, Boogie Woogie Bugle Boy. And it kind of gets us into the mood here at 88.5 KRFY due to the fact that we have guests in the studio talking about an upcoming event at the Panada, the Little Panada Theater, about World War II stories somewhat. And we'll talk a little bit more about that. We're also here with, and that was Ron Ragone, actor here in our community, and Patricia Walker-White, Executive Director of the Panada. And Patricia, let's talk a little bit more about the Panada and it's all back together. It's always going to be in moving forward, kind of shoring it up, so to speak.
Absolutely. And there's always going to be projects that we need done. There's no shortage of those. In fact, there are a couple that got pointed out when we had the ceiling coming down that maybe we should have tackled at the same time, but... You know, overall, community's done an outstanding job of preserving this building. I visited one built by the same person, and it'd been completely gutted, and it was it's in Pullman, and I was just devastated for weeks thinking about it. And you know, it's important and crucial to our community that the Panada is open and busy and brings a degree down to our downtown that other downtowns don't have. So. Yeah, we're fighting to keep it going. And back on track with the movies, we don't have all of the dates set for the upcoming movies because we weren't sure when we were going to be able to open. So we're getting that. We have a couple of things that we're working on getting booked in there. But Shaun the Sheep is coming up. And then we have some of the local favorites coming up. Radical Reels is coming up. We are also going to be a part of something called the Manhattan Shorts, which is a worldwide film festival. So all around the globe for 1 week, these shorts will be shown. And there are only two locations in Idaho that you can get to. And we know where one of them is.
So something new.
That's coming up. That's new. And then, you know, just favorites that are coming back.
Will there be the Holly Eve kind of thing?
Yes, Holly Eve, Radical Reels. We have Rocky Horror Picture Show live production this last year. We did it as a movie this year. American Laboratory Theater is bringing it as a live production.
Jesus Quintero.
Yes. And his crew. So that's putting some, you know, that's another step in putting theater back on our big stage and our little stage and our big stage. Plan to have more things happening, hopefully.
So. How exciting. It's back. Our favorite thing.
Our favorite thing.
And people will be flocking, I'm sure. And Ron, you had some more things you wanted to share with us. Just again, tell us what's happening this weekend, the dates, and your role with your wife in putting this on.
Okay, well, my wife and I are putting on an evening of storytelling. And on Sunday afternoon, of course, it'll be an afternoon of storytelling. All the stories are loosely based around World War II. Not so much action, not too much the fighting wars. It's the effect that it had on the populace, the general people. Because I think if you recall, World War II was probably the last conflict our nation has been in where the entire nation participated. And by participation, I don't actually mean in the fighting portion of it, but there was gas rationing. There was food rationing. The whole country.
Teenagers went to work in the war
factories. Right. You had women, Rosie the Riveter, the whole thing. You had women getting into areas that women were never involved with before, but they had to through necessity. And there are some parallels. It's kind of interesting. It wasn't planned to do it this way, but there are some parallels between 9/11 and December 7th. I was only a year old on December 7th, so I don't remember anything, but I remember the stories my parents would told me how they were glued to the radio because of the events going on in Hawaii at that time, at Pearl Harbor. And I think a lot of people can say, you know, I know exactly what I was doing on certain dates. The assassination of President Kennedy was one. Pearl Harbor, for those who are old enough to remember, and also 9/11. Those are probably in the last, 60, 70, 80 years were the dates that we are almost glued to the radio or TV as it came later on. And so with these stories that I'm going to be telling, like I said, one of them is in a fairly recent mode, but yet it has ties to World War II. So,
what are some of the things that stream through that could be current but could be from that era that are common?
Well, of course, unfortunately, it seems that conflict seems to be a way of things, sorry to say. Studs Terkel wrote a book called The Good War. It's interesting oxymoron because what good comes from war, but the point he was trying to make was it was the last war that the United States of America was involved with in which it had the full support of the people that lived in that country. Subsequent wars, unfortunately, have not had that. I tend to romanticize the concept of World War II. Maybe it was because of all the movies that we have seen over the last 70 years that still go back and still have their ties to World War II, because it was the war that in which we had a common foe. We had what it appeared to be a good reason to be in that particular conflict, and it came out the way it did. And
how does romance figure into these stories that you're going to be sharing this weekend at the Little Panada? How does that weave into your storytelling?
Well, it's particularly in one of the stories. Actually, all three have a romantic twinge to them. But it's the final story, the one that I'll be ending, has to do with a letter that was written in 1944 and how it resurfaced in 1989, quite by mistake, quite by chance, and how it affects the lives, particularly of two people. And that's all I'm going to tell you.
Okay. Wow.
You know, but when you think about it, it's the arts that keep all that alive. And, you know, people are only going to remember this through storytelling, movies, books, because how are our kids going to understand when you try and explain this, they're so used to so much social media and so much instant information, they have no idea what it was like. I remember with my art students one day teaching them about rationing, and I had the cooperation of all the parents, but they were rationed what they could eat that day. And they, when they come into school, we made them work for the morning before they could have a break. And oh my gosh, the groans. But they have no idea unless we find ways to keep that, you know, what the struggle was, as well as what the, you know, the good things were that come out of it. Because there's always good things out of tragedy as well. So
I always think of storytelling as, and this is really a perfect chance to get that experience of listening to a story. If you tell someone a story, they are, as we talked about a few minutes ago, forming pictures in their brain. It's brain activity. Mm-hmm. If you show them a photo, there's no activity. It's done for them. So they can be the director, the cinematographer, the creator, the artistic creator of the story in their brains by hearing you, your voice, interpreting ideas and memories into stories that probably are very beautiful and moving, I have a feeling. Well, maybe funny, too.
Well, that has to be the case. You have to interject humor. It has to be spontaneous. Look at Garrison Keillor, for instance. Now, please, I'm not putting myself in the same league as a Garrison Keillor. However, he uses humor to keep his audience interested. Mm-hmm. It's one of the things that I try to do when I'm a substitute teacher at Sandpoint High School. I try to keep the kids entertained, as well as providing a learning environment. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how successful I've been with it, but I've got away with it for the last 15 years, and it still asks me to come around.
So. I think one of the interesting things I asked before we started the show here, some of this is in the moment also, which is kind of like listening to live music. This is you giving us a gift of your storytelling talents.
Well, one of the things I have to really thank my wife for putting a Herculean effort into doing what she is doing. Because, yes, I'm the guy on stage. Yes, I'm the guy telling the story. But it's her lighting. It's the sounds. It's the coordination that has to get, and not to mention getting the coordination between the computer and the sound effects and all this sort of stuff. When we did the Molly Ivins show not too long ago, we incorporated not only some great acting, thanks to Miriam Robinson, but we also had a visual and a audio portion associated with it, which lent to the story. And so I kind of did my homework and said, well, gee, if it was successful for that particular play, why don't we do it with this? And so then I asked my wife, I said, Tricia, you got to help me here. And she has. Mm-hmm. She's, like I said, she put in more work in this particular project than I have.
So from Ron and Patricia Ragone, we have a benefit event coming up at the Panada.
The Little Theater on Saturday night at 7:30 and on Sunday at 3 o'clock. And you can get tickets online or you can get tickets at the door. They're only $6, more of a donation to the Panada. And so please come see us and please come support the arts in our community in that regard. And I think if we can fill up those seats, that we could talk him into doing this again.
And not only filling up the seats, but being there to experience something pretty, sounds very interesting and exciting.
Well, I think so. And I think people will go away with a nice smile on their face.
Well, we want to thank you for both of you, Patricia Walker-White, Executive Director of the Panada, and Ron Ragone, who will be telling us stories on Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 at the Little Panada Theater, for coming in today and sparking our interest and giving us this information. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you, Susan.
Thank you.
We're going to leave this part of the show. This is 88.5 KRFY, and we're going to go back to Otto's Eclectic Mix for the rest of the morning. That we're going to leave with Ella Fitzgerald, Dream a Little Dream of Me, another song from the probably 50s, 40s, something like that. Get us in the mood for this upcoming event at the Little Panada Theater, this World War II story time with Ron Ragone. That's this Saturday at 7:30 and Sunday at 3 at the Little Panda Theater. Have a beautiful day. This is Ella Fitzgerald. Dream a little dream of me.
Stars shining bright above.